Welcome to Healed Adjacent, where my overflow contributes to your cup. I'm your host, Yazzie G, and I don't know about you, but I'm ready to laugh. You guys, it has been 2 weeks since I have recorded an episode of Healed Adjacent. I had every intention actually on recording last week, but I was in Houston visiting family, visiting friends, being really, really present in the moment. And I found that I didn't really feel like recording the podcast, and I didn't want to force myself and take my attention away from where it was in that moment. So I made an executive decision and decided that we try again next week. So it wasn't necessarily like a needed break because this podcast doesn't bring a whole lot of extra things on the to-do list for me, but I just wanted to be present. I wanted to relax with friends and family, and not sit here and jot down ideas and think about what I wanted to say. So I did that, and now I'm back, and I'm happy to be back. So let's jump into our quote of the day, which is very short, sweet, and simple, and it reads, "Be where your feet are." And that might be something that you have heard before. I definitely feel like I've heard that quote prior to, choosing it for this episode. But be where your feet are. It's self-explanatory, really. It's just telling you to be present in exactly every moment that you partake in, right? Like I can be here at home, but my mind is wandering and it's thinking about things outside of home and things that very likely bring me stress and or anxiety. And so this quote is just a reminder to ground yourself exactly where you are, because there are going to be plenty of things to worry about day in and day out. And I just feel like, especially if you struggle with anxiety or just, ruminating thoughts, a lot of the times it can just be very helpful, I guess, to remind yourself that if you are where your feet are right now, if you can remind yourself that you're safe, that you are in a trusting environment, albeit that is actually the case, you could just tell yourself, be where your feet are. I'm here, I'm safe, I have what I need, and I can continue to move in this moment. So, yeah. Let's go ahead and move into our high-low buffalo. So my high of the week this week is that I am childless. Baby, I don't have no kids. Okay, I don't have to go as hard. I don't have any kids. But no. That really is my high, y'all, because sometimes you really just be having to thank God for the little things. And that's really not no small thing, okay? I definitely could have very well been with child at this point in my life, and I am not. Hallelujah. Won't he do it? He's so good. So good. Because the Lord knows, okay? I'm the last person that needs a child right now, okay? No, thank you. I am childless. Childless. I am living. I am enjoying my life to the best extent that I can. And I'm just grateful that I only got one mouth to feed. I mean, two, because Jiminy, my cat, he is my child. So I guess technically I'm not childless. I am human childless, which is the best childless to be. Amen. Amen. All right, let's keep moving. My low of the week, you guys. So the day I went to Houston, I literally was like cleaning up, my place or whatever before leaving, and I was doing the dishes, and I literally just start bawling my eyes out because it's like, because I was like, God, like I am so fearful because things are just not panning out for me. Like I don't know what tomorrow brings. I barely know what the next few hours are going to bring, and I just feel like I had to have pissed you off. I had to have done something for me to be in such a place of unknowing, but not just for me to be in that place of not knowing, but also to have so much anxiety and fear, because I really was like comfortable in it for a time. Like I definitely was thinking, okay, like when is, the next job opportunity gonna come along? When am I gonna know, what my passion is and what I want to do with my life and yada yada yada. But I was comfortable in knowing that I was allotted time to rest and not have to worry about that. But now that we're getting down to, the nitty-gritty, the summer's coming to an end. One of these last few paychecks from this school is about to come in. And then after that, I'm really on my own. And so I've just been kind of feeling that fear and that anxiety a little bit more as of recently. And I was crying because honestly, I felt guilty, you know, because everybody tells you like, you don't need to be scared. You don't need to have fear. The Bible tells you, you know, there's no room for worry, especially worry about something that hasn't happened yet. And as much as I know that to be true, I still worry, which is, you know, very natural to the human experience, but I was feeling guilty for it. And so it was just like a big conglomerate of feelings that I couldn't quite pinpoint. And therefore, I could only acknowledge to a certain extent because it's like, okay, I acknowledge that I'm feeling something, but I'm feeling so many things and contradictory things at that, that it was really, really hard for me to kind of calm myself down and reassure myself, honestly. But that's something that I did bring to my therapy session this week, and we did talk about it. So, period, per per, we're working. Okay, Yasmin is working on her things. She's trying. So yeah, I'm currently still fearful if I'm being honest, especially because y'all, I just came from a job fair for an ISD here where I live, and it was not fruitful. And quite honestly, I left that job fair bumping Ken the Man, feeling on top of the world. And I can't explain to you why, because I didn't walk away with a job, you know, and let me be clear, I didn't walk away with a job because I chose to turn down the opportunity that was given. There were just too many stipulations, and there was a commitment that I felt that I could not make or I cannot make. And so I had to be like, okay, yeah, nah, that's not for me. And I'm gonna be so real with y'all. I knew that nothing in that building really was going to be for me per se. But you know, I'm scared. And so I'm starting to act out of fear, and that's kind of, you know, where that guilt comes in because it's like, okay, I don't want to take things into my own hands thinking that I could do something bigger than you, God, because I know that I can't, but I'm scared and I'm not really receiving a lot of reassurance. Like, once I get this last paycheck, how are my bills getting paid? You know, am I gonna have to open up my mouth and my hand and ask somebody for it, i.e. my parents, which I really don't want to do. If you know me in real life, you know how independent I am. And I really, 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 really struggle to ask people for help. Because, you know, I just the more people you add into the scenario, I feel like you get a lot of variables that you can't quite measure. And I'm someone who likes to plan out in advance for every possible outcome. And I feel like when you start adding in other people, I can't, at that point, I can't really plan for every possible outcome because I don't know, people are unpredictable. So yeah, that's gonna lead me to a whole tangent. So I'm kind of just gonna leave that there. I didn't walk away with a job, but I walked away feeling on top of the world because I know that God does have something for me. I'm just like, baby, you taking in the midnight hour a little too seriously, okay? How about 9 o'clock? How does that work for you? Okay, it fits my schedule perfectly. But anyways, yeah, your girl is still on the lookout for a job, which honestly has been my largest concern. And for that, I'm grateful. I could be concerned about a lot of other things, life or death things. You know, this is not life or death. I have a great support system. I have people who are willing to help me. I'm willing to, you know, go to a job that some people would probably deem, you know, lesser than or whatever. But at the end of the day, the bills got to get paid. So at the end of the day, the day got to end. That part too. So, you know, a girl is just out here doing what she got to do. But let me move into my Buffalo, which I'm really excited to talk about. So when I was in Houston, I was visiting a great dear friend of mine, and he brought up the Bible scripture that talks about numbering your days. I actually let me pull it up right now, okay? So it says, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." And that's Psalm 90, verse 12. And so him and I, well, he did this prior to me, but he brought me along for this journey. We have began to literally number our days. So for example, today for me is day 8,806. And every day I just go in and I update, you know, how many days I've been alive. And I also was very intrigued as to the literal meaning of that scripture. So I went in and did a little bit of research, research. And so it's basically talking about recognizing the brevity of life and understanding that each day is a gift from God. Then I was like, what does brevity mean? And I'm assuming that I'm pronouncing that correctly. It could be brevity, but that don't even sound right. So we're going to say brevity. And that means concise and exact use of words in writing or speech, right? So it's recognizing the preciseness of life. And a good way of doing that is literally numbering your days. Okay, we're recognizing the precise amount of days that I've been living, the precise amount of days that God has breathed life into these lungs. And it kind of puts things into perspective, because it's like, oh God, like, you didn't have me alive for 8,000 almost 9,000 days. That's crazy. You believe in me enough, like, you believe in me that much to allow me to breathe life for 8,806 days. I don't know. That's just kind of dope. And I really, really appreciate him for bringing me into this journey with him. And I'm very, very excited to build on that. So yeah, that's been my high, low, and buffalo. We're going to move to out of school education now. And I feel like this might be quite short, but what I've been learning these past couple weeks, because, you know, I didn't record last week. But what I've been learning is honestly to live. If I allow life to pass me by, it will. And I don't want that for myself. You know, I've talked about wanting to be present in my life and figuring out what that looks like, and, you know, balancing this sense of control that I think I have with what's actually going on and who actually has control. And so I've just kind of been taking a step back, honestly, from all of the journaling and the inner work. I mean, I'm still doing it passively. I'm just not placing a whole lot of emphasis on that right now, because I just feel like God is equipping me with all that I need. And I'm focusing on the things that are bringing me peace and bringing me joy. And that doesn't look like journaling all the time. Like this past week being in Houston, pouring into me looked like pouring into those around me. Like I went to spend time with my God sister, and I enjoyed that so much. Like we did really wholesome stuff, you know, going to the museum and getting our nails and toes done and going and buying flowers, you know, dinner, just all the little cutesy things, watching Love Island, y'all, because she loved her some Love Island. I don't watch that trash, but I watched it with her. I'm not gonna lie, it was cute or whatever. I found myself watching an episode or two by myself this past week, but that's neither here nor there. I just really enjoyed living, existing. Like I wasn't worried about a whole lot. I probably should have been more concerned about the way I was swiping my card, but I just felt like I only get one life. And I'm not saying like be irresponsible with your funds or be irresponsible with your time, because it doesn't have to be, you know, money. Time is money. But anyways, you know, you don't have to be super frugal, I guess, with all those things. But, you know, be smart. Only you know your life story. Only you know, how far your ideas, your stamina, your money, your beauty, your brains, whatever. Only you know how far that's going to get you. For me, though, I just didn't have it in me to worry about that bank account, baby, because I was like, money come and money goes. Like, I've never been without. And that's not to say that I'm just, you know, swiping my card, whatever. It was for someone else. And I'm the type of person, I much rather spend money on other people than myself. Next week, I'm actually really excited to talk about my high, low, and buffalo, because I'm going to be talking about that a little bit. But anyways, yeah, so I've just been trying to live, to give myself some grace. Like literally, I was telling my therapist something the other day, and based on her response, I was like, I either need a new therapist or she just became my new favorite person. Because it was like, you know, I was telling her the ways in which I've been coping, because I was telling her like just all the things I've been feeling, all the things that are going on. And she kind of stopped me and she was like, whoa, like slow down. She's like, you are in panic mode. You need to relax. And so that kind of got me, you know, going into telling her some of my coping mechanisms. And I recognize that they are not the healthiest. I just feel like they are the lesser of two evils, if you will. And I expected her not to judge me or to be like, oh, we need to immediately find you more healthy, or find you healthier coping mechanisms. But I definitely didn't expect her to just kind of be like, well, we all cope in our own ways. And, you'll basically just be like, you'll come up out of it eventually. And she's not wrong. And I understand the way she like has to handle me is a little bit different because I am definitely one of those patients who is super self-aware, and I will come to you and be like, here's my problem, here's the solution. I'm just having trouble with the implementation of the solution. And so a lot of the times I'm bouncing things off of her, and her response is usually not necessarily a solution in and of itself, because one, that's my job. Like, yes, she's here to help me to find those solutions, but 9 times out of 10, I already got it. And so a lot of the times she isn't coming to me like, well, this is what you need to do. It's just kind of like, I hear you. Have you tried this? Maybe try that. I appreciate the way that she kind of allows me to navigate this myself because it is my own life, right? But she makes sure that at the end of the day, she's giving me something. And a lot of the times in our sessions, I feel like just from the way that I speak and the way that I express myself, I tend to, if I don't already have the solution, literally just through talking about it, I find a solution. I make her job so easy is what I'm saying. But no, no, I really just have been trying to cut myself some grace. And that is something that my counselor has been telling me time and time and time and time and time again. Now I can't say that she has been repetitive in that, baby. She's like, Yasmin, give yourself some grace. And it's like, yeah, girl, I'm trying, but my expectations of myself are so high because I know what I'm capable of, and I know how much I believe in myself and how much I believe in God. And I just feel like, I don't know, certain things are beneath me. And I know that's probably so crazy. Like, there are people like, humble yourself. No, absolutely, absolutely. Because at the end of the day, it could be me. It could very well be me. I've gotten out of the habit of saying, oh, that could never be me, because it absolutely could. But still, there are certain things that are beneath me. I'm sorry. It's certain stuff I'm not willing to do because I'm like, God, I'm not built like that. You didn't build me to go through the trenches, okay? It never gave that. So it's just I have to be realistic with myself, but also give myself grace and try to be optimistic at the same time, and also try to release control at the same time. And there are just so many things to do in this life in what feels like sh such little time. And so I've been living and pacing myself and just realizing it don't all gotta be so serious. I've really enjoyed my life over this last month. I'm not gonna lie, this has been an amazing summer. Like, it's been wholesome, it's been eye-opening, it's been fun, and baby, the fun has not stopped, okay? Like, there is still so much more to come. I am excited. I'm very excited. I am also just nervous and a little guilty for feeling nervous, if I'm being honest. So if you're listening to this and you have my phone number, please, please, please feel free. Reach out. Okay? Check on your strong friends. No, I'm just playing. But no, reach out for real. I'm gonna move into my next segment, which is This Is For Becoming. My This Is For Becoming this week is for being scared and doing it anyway. Because y'all, I have no problem selling myself. I think I talk a good talk. I talk a big talk, baby. Okay, a mean talk, if you will. Like, my throat chakra, definitely a God-given gift. Like, your girl can talk. Okay, I know how to string some words together for real. And I wasn't necessarily nervous about the job fair that I just went to because I know how to sell myself. And I do love working with kids. So, it just felt like it was gonna be easy. But I was still very scared of going because it was like, well, what if I actually do get a job? Like, you know what I mean? Do get a teaching position. Then that means I'm back to square one, basically. But I did it anyways. And then I went and I didn't get anything, but I'm still applying to jobs. I'm still figuring things out. I'm scared, but I'm doing it anyway. And I have to pat myself on the back for that because there was a time where this fear of just the unknown, like being in this position, period, would have broken me dang near. Like, I definitely, fight, flight, freeze, or fawn, baby, I would have froze. I would have froze. I'm not one to really like run away. Well, that's a lie. I do be running sometimes, but
I'm not one to fight. Like, it's usually freeze or flight. Those are typically the two that you're gonna get out of me. Like, I'm either gonna run or I'm just gonna completely freeze up. But I'm so proud of myself because lately I've been fighting, okay? Like, I have been doing the things. Like, I'm like, no, I'm not gonna be defeated. I'm not gonna feel defeated. Like, my God is so much bigger than anything that I could experience in this lifetime. And I'm actually going to end my This Is For Becoming there, because this is the perfect segue into the next segment, God's Promise. And I say that because His promise is to continue to fight these battles for me, with me, especially in the spiritual. And I say that because I recognize that where I am in my life, this is not even my battle yet. You know what I mean? Like, I have kind of started to take things into my own hands strictly because of fear. But at the same time, two things can be true at once. At the same time, I recognize it's not even my battle to be taken into my hands quite yet. You know what I mean? Like, the weapons themselves, they have not manifested into a Goliath. They're not even real. You know what I mean? Like, the problems, the weapons, they're not real right now. Like, they're still in the spiritual. They haven't even manifested to something in the physical. And it's like, girl, you can't fight. You can't fight something that is above you. You know what I mean? Like, God is so big and He's so good and so vast that it's like, I don't even have to worry about this prospering. You know, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Quite literally, it may be being formed in the spiritual, right? I may be feeling it in my heart and things of that nature, but at the end of the day, I still can't fight it without Him. And if it were to manifest in the physical, okay, we cross that bridge when we get there, and we still go to Him and we fight it with Him. But honestly, it's not my battle. It is quite literally not my battle, okay? It has not reached Goliath status. I'm not David. I don't need to be. Okay, like, God is doing it, and faith without works is absolutely dead. And I wholeheartedly believe that I'm gonna continue to do the work, but I recognize that, one, I'm not doing it alone, and two, it's really not even my battle to fight. I mean, the battle with Goliath really wasn't David's to fight either, but that's a whole nother tangent. But God has not spoken over me fighting anybody else's battles. And right now, this is not my battle, and He has not told me to fight it for myself or for nobody else for that matter. So His promise is to keep doing what He's doing, to show up, to show out, to fight the battles for me, with me, to continue to equip me in this season and every season following. Like, oh, y'all, God is so good. I really can't even explain to y'all. And I know I've been saying this for weeks, like, I've been saying, you know, my faith is really delusional. Y'all, it is, because there is, I don't know if I'll still be living with my friend next year when our lease is up. I don't know if I'll still be living in this city. I don't know if I'm moving back home. I don't know if I'm going to have another job. I don't know if I'm ever going to, you know, really get back into the dating scene anytime soon. Like, there are just so many what ifs and I don't knows. But y'all, I just feel so good about what God is doing in my life, because, again, I've been saying this. I know I sound like a broken record, but He is doing it in the spiritual for me, and it's going to manifest in the physical so, so, so soon. And I cannot wait to share that with you all and to continue to be a light. Like, there are some people who I've talked to within this last week who have been like, oh, yes, you know, I've started X, Y, and Z because you really inspired me with your podcast. And it's like, I was telling somebody the other day, you know, as cliche as it may sound, like, I'm really doing this to hopefully help or inspire somebody. And she was like, you know, that's not cliche at all. You know, a lot of times God puts stuff in front of us so that we could put it in front of somebody else. And that's, I would hope, exactly what this is. Like, He put this in front of me, and I believe in it. I believe in what He's done for me and what He put in front of me. And hopefully, you know, that rubs off on somebody else, that they begin to believe in their idea. Because I recently heard the other day, you know, ideas have a consciousness. They come to you wanting you to bring them into fruition. But if you don't, that idea is going to go to somebody else. And so I'm glad that I finally took my idea and I'm making it fruitful. And I can only hope and pray that it does the same for others, that it makes them fruitful, whether that be in spirit, in laughter, in the physical, you know, in their creative sense, literally, whatever. I'm just always elated to be a tool, you know, a tool that God continues to sharpen and continues to use. He ain't never just laid me to the side and be like, okay, yeah, like this is cool. I don't need that no more. Like, no, he's always gonna find use for me. And that's something that, you know, I can't say anybody else could do for me. So I'm just very grateful to have God in my corner. And to feel this good despite the circumstances. So yeah. We're gonna move into the last segment. Okay, so my last segment, food for thought. You guys actually have a very funny story. sorry. It's just funny to think about because this is throwback to, what is this, high school? Yes, this is around the time I turned 18. So right before I went to college. But I have a best friend whose birthday is a few days after mine. And for my birthday, we went to the club, baby. First time, 18 and up, obviously, because I had turned 18. We went to the club, baby, and we had a time. It really wasn't the club. It was like the bar. But we went, and we had a time. And it was just like, oh, my gosh, is this what partying feels like when you're, like, grown? Child, we thought we was grown. We wasn't grown. But I'm like, oh, my God, yeah, this was a time. Okay, so fast forward to her birthday, like, a week later. And the little guy that I was dating at the time, he's the boxer, okay? Like, that's just what I call him, the boxer, because he boxes. And so that's how I always refer to him, which is so funny. Okay, I'm going to go on a slight tangent from this story really, really quick. So my little brother, the other day when he was here visiting, you know, we were talking or whatever. And I was like, oh, yeah, you remember, like, so-and-so, woo-woo? And he was like, oh, the one with the loud car? And I was like, no. And he was like, the boxer? And I was like, no. And he was like, the one that worked here? And I was like, no. And I was like, oh, my God, like, do I be in the streets like that? Like, do I get around or something? Because why are you bringing up all these? Who are you talking about, actually? But yeah, no, this is the boxer. So yeah, I'm dating the boxer or whatever. And he was throwing a little party, a little house party. Now, I'm from Louisiana originally, Southwest Louisiana. I'm going to just call it the lake, okay? I'm from the lake. If you're from Louisiana, you probably know exactly what city I'm talking about. If not, oh well. Yeah, I'm from the lake. And in the lake, there is not a single house party that has taken place since I was like 18 that has not gotten shot up. So just light foreshadowing for you. So yeah, he's throwing this party. And of course, me, because I'm hot in the booty at the time, I'm like, oh yeah, like let's go to this house party for your birthday, girl. Like we're gonna have a time. It's gonna be good. You know, my man is hosting, so everything's taken care of. Don't worry. So, girl, we go to this little house party or whatever. And it's cute, you know, it's nothing crazy. It's a house party full of a whole bunch of black people. It's exactly what you would expect. Like whatever you're picturing in your mind, that's what it looks like. So yeah, we just having a little time. It's cute, woo, 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 woo. So my bestie is like, hey, look, I really want to go to the bar. Like, let's go and do that before it's too late. And I'm like, no, like, just a little bit longer, girl. Like, just a little bit longer. Like, it's going to be fine. It's fine. Y'all, probably no more than like 10, 20 minutes later, they start shooting. And I'm like, bruh. I'm like, bro, I got this girl out. Like, if she die, her parents are gonna kill me. Like, if she get shot, my life is over for real. Because they did not play that, okay? I don't even know if they knew we was at this party for real. Like, oh, my God. So they start shooting, right? When I tell you, we dive into my car. Because luckily, we were, like, right by the car or whatever when stuff started popping off. We dive into the car. We in the backseat. We just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Like, we just try not to die for real. And eventually, once things kind of cool off, you know, we get in the driver's seat and we, you know, skirt, skirt, we pull off. But it's so funny because at that point, you know, the bar was closed because it was, bars closed at what, 2? And it was probably like maybe 1:30 for real. So there was no time. And the other bar option wasn't really, you know, super lit at that point. So we like, nah, we not trying to go there. And that is basically the story of how I ruined my bestie's 18th birthday. Like, it's not funny. I mean, it's kind of funny now. But when I tell you, like, years, it has been years since that has happened. And she still brings that up. She's still like, remember when you, like, ruined my whole birthday? And I'm like, girl, I am so sorry. Like, I honestly don't think I have made that up to her to this day. Like, we've spent her birthday celebrations together, but since then, you know, we've been in school, and then since graduating, we live in completely different states, and so it's just kind of a lot at this point to get schedules to align and all the things. But no, I absolutely will make that up to her because that is insane. That's what happens when you hot in the booty. So yeah, no, I still feel bad to this day for that, because it's like, girl, you almost lost your life and you ain't even really enjoy yourself, and it was your 18th birthday, and we had a time for my 18th birthday, and all she wanted was to create that for hers. And so yeah, I actually have so many stories specifically with that best friend, like where I was being hot in the booty, or I was just doing something that it was like, girl, la la, like we don't have to do all of that for real. And she's like, Yasmin, like we don't really. And I'm like, girl, shut up, like put your big girl panties on and let's go. I don't have time for this. So as you could tell, I'm kind of like the wild card friend. Honestly, not anymore. I've definitely calmed down like a lot. And I wasn't even doing nothing crazy. Probably the craziest story you could think of, I was doing something less crazy than that, if we're being real. But just the way that I was raised and the people that I was raised around, a lot of the stuff that I do for them is probably taboo, or just like, oh yeah, I'm just being, you know, woo 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 woo. But no, I don't be doing nothing too cray cray, y'all. So it's okay. And we done found the Lord since, so I really be chilling for real, cause y'all don't want none of this, okay? But yeah, no, you guys, that has been this episode of Healed Adjacent. Before I go, I just want to remind you, never go to a man for your problems. No, I'm just playing, y'all. When I was at this job fair just now, I called my mama because I felt like I was in between a rock and a hard place with the decisions I was having to make. And so I called her like, hey girl, like what do I do? Like here's what's going on. Like, how should I proceed? And she was like, hold on, let me call your daddy on three-way. And I immediately go, why? Like, girl, why are you calling a man to solve our problems for real? Like, please don't piss me off. But no, I'm all for being a damsel in distress, okay? At the drop of the hat, I'm calling my mama, I'm calling my daddy, I'm calling whoever, because somebody is gonna fix this for me, okay? Somebody is gonna solve this problem. But no, if it's not your daddy or your kingdom spouse, okay, baby, ain't a man on this earth that can solve my problems for me. Hello? But anyways, no, y'all, take what I say with a grain of salt. Whatever works for you. But yeah, that has been this episode of Hilda Chasen. I hope that you guys enjoyed listening to this as much as I enjoyed recording it. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Hilda Jason Podcast. Also, my main account is _.yazzy.g. And of course, I am on TikTok at That Girl Yasmin, THTGRLYASMINE. Hopefully you got you some good food for thought. Can I talk today? I don't know what's going on. I'm really just blah, 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 mumbling over all of my words. But I hope that you got some good food for thought today, or at the very least, a good laugh. And with that, my friends, I'll catch you next week, and I bid you adieu.